One institution that Americans have really lost faith in, the media.
I think you see a lot of journalists who are making a name for themselves on Twitter by being snarky and having attitude, not really paying attention to what that does to the perception of the institutions for which they work, for the enterprise of journalism in which they're engaged. So in a way, I would say that leadership of a certain kind with the connotation of self-aggrandizement is part of the problem.
That's Ramesh Panuru again. A recent poll finds that 77% of Americans believe that major traditional television and media outlets report fake news. And only 20% of Americans have a lot of confidence in the news.
I think we almost need to have some kind of Manhattan Project to fix the media, because our country just can't afford to not have voices and people questioning authority.
And that's Katie Couric. She has 1.8 million Twitter followers, over 600,000 Facebook follows. I think she can pretty safely be called a leader in the media. But she told me that were she 25 years old today, thinking about what profession to enter, she might make a different choice.
I think I would be involved in some kind of social activism if I were 25 years old right now.
You don't think you would have gone into journalism?
I don't know. That's a hard question because it is very different, but it is still such an exciting, important profession. And I love what I do. I love talking to people. I love trying to help people understand the world around us. I love learning together with people. So I think I still might go into journalism.
But would you want to go to a big legacy newspaper or media outlet like a network?
I don't know. There's still a lot to be said for the tremendous resources,
mm-hmm.
for the reach, for still the trust that exists, I think, with some of these legacy organizations, and the team, you know, that's involved. And so I feel very supportive and proud of my brethren in journalism. I think what's frustrating is that there's so much of the population that dismisses them. And that's a problem.
Did you feel that changing when you, thinking about your NBC, CBS era time, did you notice that shift in the way regular people were interacting with you or how they felt about you as a representative of a news organization?
No, I didn't feel that way as much. I mean, I always was mindful that I couldn't really let my opinions be known and that I had to ask probing, challenging questions about everything. But this wasn't during the Trump era, and that's changed everything. I felt like I could really rake David Duke over the coals because I felt like I had a moral responsibility to do that. And that if people hated it, then that was okay if they didn't want to watch me. I mean, so there were extreme cases of that. But generally, I tried to be a referee and trying to understand different points of view. And right. I think that's changed. I think that now opinion has replaced reporting. And I think that's a dangerous road to go down. But opinion and kind of playing to your audience and tapping into whatever outrage you may be addressing and whatever audience you may be addressing seems to be the secret sauce of what gets ratings today. So now you have opinions 24/7 and they lose their power. And furthermore, they start to erode trust that, well, this is your opinion, but we really want to know the truth. We want to know the facts, but what is truth? And do you have a moral obligation to call out behavior that seems so reprehensible or not? So I think, you know, it's easy to say you shouldn't speak out. On the other hand, sometimes you feel that what's going on is so reprehensible, you have an obligation it's challenging for people, right? I see the struggle. I feel the struggle, honestly.
At the end of the day, where is media and its role in playing, what role is it going to be playing?
I wish I were the all-knowing Oz and I could make that prediction and actually come up with a solution, Amy, because it's so disconcerting, because it's such a critically important institution in a democracy. And the fact that our faith has eroded in media of all kinds is just heartbreaking to me. It really is. And so I think job number one is somehow, some way, we have to figure out a way to restore the faith in media. I think it's so bifurcated. And as my friend Nicole Seligman says, people seek affirmation, not information. So, you know, you can see how it happens and how people get sucked into this. Somehow, we just have to figure out a way to have some of this more measured, sensible reporting get to people so they're not incited by the wrong things and by information that's been twisted to fit a certain agenda.
Right. I'm of two minds of this too, which is I think the ultimate disruption in the media landscape has been in many ways really good. So people like us, right, women's voices, people of color, people whose voices were never heard before,
definitely,
now finally have a place.
Oh, well, everything
right?
is a double-edged sword.
Everything is a double-edged sword. So the disruption has been good in many ways. But with it, of course, comes all the stuff that you mentioned before.
Well, the disruption, you know, the voices are good. I'm all for that. Absolutely. I mean, who could argue with a more representative
media
landscape?
Well, there are a lot of people who say, I want to go back to the days when we had the three stations, when we had Walter Cronkite, and we knew what the truth was.
Well, you know, the problem is of democratizing media and the internet is there are no universal standards. And at one point, there was an understanding that things had to be vetted, edited, that people with experience and an understanding of the issues and a certain responsibility to be fair and accurate were behind the curtain, you know, shaping these stories, selecting these stories, shaping them. Now, of course, some of them were not representative of the audience, were certainly myopic. I found that when I worked at CBS News doing the evening news, that I often had to say, hey, let's do a piece on sexual assault in the military, or we really need to cover dating violence as a result of Yardley Love's brutal murder at the University of Virginia. There are stories that I think I was much more sensitized to that my male colleagues weren't. So obviously there are problems with that. But, you know, I see all these media outlets, and there are millions of them now, covering stories, and I look at these stories and I know nothing about these. I don't know who's working there. I don't know who's running it. I don't know what standards they have. But I can't necessarily, if I'm an average consumer, say, oh, this is from blank, so this may not be legitimate. I think it's gotten incredibly confusing for the consumer.
Do you see this then? We're at a tipping point and there's something on the other side, or that this is just where we are? We're gonna just have to sort of slog
through. Station.
Yeah, or that we just kind of slog through. This is the reality now. Or is it the place where you said that it's ultimately sort of like, whether it's a Manhattan Project or something that we're headed to getting some resolution on this,
you know,
in whatever form that is.
Whenever I think about this, I think these are such unbelievably strange times. But I think what's really difficult, when you have a president that is this unconventional, to maintain total objectivity, because I think the personal becomes political. And I think it's infused all the coverage. And his personality is so, at times, outrageous that it obscures all the policy issues. So everything has become like a crazy mixed up salad with people's emotional feelings towards someone who acts a certain way and policy conversations. And so it's really hard. I think it's a real conundrum for people who are covering this particular individual.
And do you think this changes when he's no longer president, or the train has left the station and we are now headed into this kind of dynamic?
I do think it changes. I do. I think it will revert back. I could be completely wrong, by the way, to a sense of normalcy and a sense of focus much more on public policy and not on temperament and personality. I do. But, of course, it depends on who occupies that seat. I have a feeling that people will not want this much drama. I could be wrong. I mean, media organizations would probably have mixed feelings about not having this much drama because they have profited from the theatrics of the Trump administration and the chaos of the Trump administration. It has become almost reality television. not surprisingly. So I wish I had a crystal ball, but I do think this is something, all the distrust in institutions, there was that recent poll saying people have real doubts about our democracy and whether or not it's going to be able to continue. And I've been feeling that way for a while. Partially it's because the country feels so toxic now that we feel so divided. And I know there have been moments in history where we were this divided during Vietnam, during the civil rights era. But I'm a generally pretty positive person, but I do think this is a very serious time. And I think it's a time for us as a country to be engaged in some really important self-reflection.
Where does leadership come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah. So if the question...
You mean if people are skeptical about
everyone, the media, like where
can be a unifying leader? That's an excellent question. I'm hoping some of our political leaders will step in, but I don't know. Where do you think the leaders come from?
And so you don't think that there's somebody that can bridge that?
I don't know.
That's Katie Couric, currently the host of America Inside and Out on National Geographic. All this hour, we've been hearing about the leaders who can and should bridge this gap. Coming up, we'll hear from folks who say that the leaders to fill the breach are out there. They are us. The citizens. But I also want to reflect on a couple of points that Katie made. No one knows what the media landscape will look like post-Trump. Maybe there will be a yearning for a leader who brings less drama and chaos. But it's also true that the current media ecosystem thrives and survives on chaos. Boring presidents don't bring the bank like controversial ones do. Then there's Couric's other important point about the lack of transparency within media organizations themselves. I'm all for big, robust, and competitive news media, but they should all have to follow the same rules of the road. If we want Americans to agree on a shared set of facts, the media needs to do a better job of setting and holding themselves to common standards and responsibilities, too.